In front of you are two selections, two pieces from the Halakha Sefer Bas Ayin. You can see on the top it says that the author of the Sefer is Rav Avram Dov from Avrich. Rav Avram Avrich, Zechus Yogen Aleinu, was a Talmud of the Kedushas Levi and the Rebbe's of Chernobyl. I can see because I have the Sefer. You can't see, but the Sefer says on the front page, it describes some of the places where he served as a Rav. And it says that he passed away on Yud Beis Kislev, which is today, in the year Tafresh Aleph. That would be 1840. Okay, 1840. So today is his 178th yard site. With the Kolel is 179. It's Gematria Lahadlich, Lahadlich Me'achanaka. Okay, fine. So Avraham Avich was a big tzaddik. He was born around 1760, passed away in the year 1840, and today is his yard site. He came to Eretz Yisrael only for the last 10 years of his life or so. And there's interesting stories. Moshe Wolfson actually tells a very interesting story about how he became inspired to come to Eretz Yisrael and his appreciation of Eretz Yisrael based on a Jew who had traveled from Eretz Yisrael to his hometown and had inspired him to come to see Eretz Yisrael. He settled in Tzvas. And faced a lot of opposition there. He was kidnapped at one point. He's very famous for the earthquake that took place in Tzfas in the year 1837. On January 1st, by the secular calendar, 1837, there was a huge earthquake in Tzfas. This was 3 years before he passed away. About 5,000 Jews were killed. About 5,000 people were killed, I would say. Most of them, overwhelming majority of them, Jewish people. About 4,000 Jews were killed in that earthquake. And Rav Avram Avich said, anyone who wants to be saved, as this crazy earthquake was unfolding all around them, he said, anyone who wants to be saved, come and crowd around me. And he crowded people around him. And while the walls of the building collapsed, the center seemed to hold its place. And those who crowded around him were saved. And it's a makom yodua in Tzfat today. Okay, so we're going to learn a little bit of his Chanukah Torah on the occasion of his yard site. There are about, in this edition that I have in front of me, there are about 15 pages of Chanukah Torah. I tried to divide them up into different pieces. It appears to me that there are 12 Chanukah pieces, and we're going to learn two of them today. Okay? So we'll start with actually the very first piece, and it's Drushim LaChanukah, on the first page by the arrow. And we'll see. We'll see the style. We'll see the style of this great tzaddik. Very interesting. A little bit of Remez, a little bit of drush, some ideas that are Kabbalistic and hard to understand, some ideas that are very accessible and can be used to develop other ideas. So let's see. Okay, Zechus Yogen Aleinu, Hashem Kol Yisrael. Hinei Inyan HaChanukah Hu Bechinas Tikun HaTohu. Chanukah comes to correct, to fix, to rectify Tohu. Bereishis bar Elokim Esa Shemayim Vesaretz Vaaretz Haisa Tohu. When Hashem created the world, or I guess prior to creation of the world was in a state of Tohu. And the truth is that even after creation, the world is still somewhat in a state of Tohu. And Tohu means like very chaotic. Well, how does our school translate Tohu? Astonishingly empty or something like that? At Tohu. Desolate. Tohu vavohu, I think Arch was something like astonishingly empty and void. It just represents a lack of shlemus. And therefore, tohu demands tikkun. Tikkun means fixing, rectification, correcting. Ukamaimer akasiv aretz haisa sohu, vayomer elokim yehi or. So he says an amazing thing. He says, how do I know that Chanukah comes to fix sort of the first bit of brokenness described by the Torah itself? Va'aretz haisa sohu. The Torah says that there was a state of sohu, vavohu. So how do I know that Chanukah is the correction of the tohu? Because Hashem's initial response in the third pasuk of the Chumash is Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, let there be light. So the light responds not only to the Choshech, like I mentioned yesterday, but really to the beginning of all the problems. That the light, in many respects, is a response to the tohu of the world, the chaos of the world, the emptiness of the world. Or zemaramis la'or shel ner Chanukah. That or, vayomer Elokim yihi or, Hashem intended from the beginning of time that there would be a Ner Chanukah. What we're really establishing is the link between the beginning of time and the end of time. Chanukah, I told you, is the last holiday that was ever established. It's really the last mitzvah derabanan. If we talk about 613 mitzvahs d'oraisa and seven primary rabbinic institutions, so the seventh and final one, mitzvah 620, is the establishment of the mitzvah and the Yom Tov of Chanukah. That's why I mentioned to a couple people after Shir the other week that if you spell out the word Chanukah like that, Ches, Nun, Chaf, Hey, it's Gematria 620. Because Chanukah is connected to this number 620. 620 is a good number. 620 is Keser. Keser is the highest of the spheros. So Chanukah in some ways connects the lowest and the highest, the beginning of time and the end of time. Again, it's the last Yom Tov in terms of chronology, making it last, but it's also coming to a fix, and it's really the first thing Hashem ever said to me. I'm going to look at me here. So there's this amazing bond between the beginning and end of time, which has a lot to do with each and every one of us, being Jews in the Ikvus of the Mashiach, and trying to, so to speak, bring the story of Jewish history and world history full circle, is very much our avoda. But Chanukah comes from, so to speak, reaching from the end of time back to the beginning of time, bringing the tikkun to the world. That's why Chanukah, the Bnei Yisachar says, Milashon Chinuch. It's a Chinuch for what? It's a training period for what? What are we training for? We're training for Mashiach. Our 36 Neiros is a glimpse of the Or HaGanuz, that supernal light, which will be Zocha to have in full, and Mir Tzashem when Mashiach comes. Okay, so Chanukah is an or that's correcting the tohu from the beginning of time. Very deep idea. Ner mitzvah v'torah or. Chanukah is not only a ner mitzvah, but Chanukah represents the deepest of Torah, the light of Torah, Torah in its purest, most illuminated form. Yeah, question. Right, is Chanukah a time for Mashiach's arrival? It's a good question. I don't know if we see so much in this farm that Chanukah is the time for Mashiach's arrival. We usually assume, again, we assume Nisan. But Nisan Nigalu, Nisan Asidun Ligal, that's the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. But, you know, every day, Animam B'muna Shleima, B'chol Yom Shiavo. Right, so It's more. It's a training course. It's our annual training course to prepare ourselves for the light of Mashiach. The simple mashal that all this farim bring, if you walk into a dark room and you turn on the lights, or if you've been sitting in a dark room for a period of time and then the lights suddenly go on, it can be blinding. It can be very overwhelming. So to adjust our eyes to the light of redemption, we have Chanukah, and as we stare at those neiros, our eyes start to absorb some of that very intense light, and then when the lights really go on with Mashiach, with the Or of Geula, we'll be able to handle it better. Okay? V'afal pi shebriyas ha'olam ha'isav Rosh Hashanah. So even though creation of the world took place on Aleph Tishrei, mikol makom yadua sheshleimas habriyah ha'isa achar kach ma'at ma'at l'chol eis ve'eis ki yadua, v'shleimas tikun ha'tou ha'isa b'chanukah. So you'll tell me, what do you mean? V'yomer lukim yihi or. That's a reference to Chanukah. If that's Hashem talking at the time of creation. Creation was on Aleph Tishrei. At least man was created on Aleph Tishrei. Right? The 6 days of creation began on Chaf Hei Elul. Interesting that creation began on the Chaf Hei. Right? Chaf Hei Elul. But if we count from Nisan, let's count from Nisan for a second. What month is Kislev? Kislev is either the third month if you count from Tishrei. Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev. But really, even though we think of creation as being Tishrei, it's both. Tosfos and Rosh Hashanah Daf Chav Zayin says Elu Velu Divrei Elokim Chaim. It's both, right? The world was created both b'machshava and Maisa, one being in Tishrei, one being in Nisan. But let's count from Nisan. What month is Kislev from Nisan?
Nine.
It's the ninth month. Right, what's the significance of the ninth month? The birth, right? The birth. So if we view kind of creation as sort of the pregnancy of the world, right? The birth, so to speak, takes place 9 months later. in Kislev. So that's sort of what he's hinting to here when he says, even though the world was created on Rosh Hashanah, again, Rosh Hashanah may be Tishrei, maybe Nisan, however we want to understand that, but obviously as time goes on, we're able to correct and to refine. I mean, the moment the woman becomes pregnant, you don't have a baby. It takes time for that child to be developed. Even if you count from Tishrei, what's the significance of 3 months with regard to pregnancy? Anyone know? That's when the baby starts to appear, right? A woman starts to show. Also, if a woman gets divorced, right, she has to wait 3 months before she can get remarried. That way there won't be any confusion as to who is the father if, in fact, she turns out to be pregnant. We wait 3 months just to clarify. Because sometimes children are born prematurely, but more than 3 months, we assume not. Right? So if she's going to give birth, 5 months later, 6 months later, we'll be able to figure out who the father is. Right? But if she got married right away and got pregnant right away, we wouldn't know. Was she pregnant from her first husband, from the second husband? So there's something about Kislev which has to do with the birthing, so to speak, of the world. And that's taking, so to speak, the void, the emptiness, the potential of the world, and actualizing that potential, bringing it to a state of tikkun. Okay? Let's keep reading Chevra with the second paragraph. V'aschalas ha'nes ha'isa ba'avraham. Now this is very interesting. The beginning of the miracle of Chanukah, which again is alluded to already in the first psukim of the Torah, Avram Avinu is someone we have to think about with regard to Chanukah. Avram Avinu, what does Avram Avinu have to do with Chanukah? What does Avram Avinu have to do with Chanukah? K'maymer ha-magid zatzal, as the Magid explained on the pasuk, Nelcha adko. Now when he quotes the Magid here, I'm not sure who he's referring to. Sometimes when he says the Magid, he's referring to the Magid of Chernobyl, which was his Rebbe, Morei Nayim. So I'm not sure if Magid here means the Magid of Mezrich, the Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov, or if the Magid here means his Rebbe. I'm gonna assume it actually is referring to the Magid of Chernobyl, because I think the Magid of Chernobyl actually has this Torah that he's about to say. Could be the Magid of Mezrich had it also. But usually when he says Harav HaMagid, he's referring to his Rebbe, who was the Magid of Chernobyl, or Nachum of Chernobyl. So the Magid explained to me, Elcha ad ko. So let's just pause for a second. Where is the first mention of Chaf Hei, ko, in the Torah? Anyone know? Where's the first time we have to think about that. If Chanukah is so much about Chanu Chaf Hei, right? If Ko is like the essence of Chanukah, Chaf Hei is a big thing. Creation of the world took place on Chaf Hei. Chaf Hei Elul, according to one calculation. Chaf Hei Adar, according to another calculation. Whatever it is, right? Where's the first Chaf Hei in the Torah? Where's the first Ko in the Torah? Anyone think of a Pasuk Ko? I'll give you a hint. Well, there's a lot of Ko Amar Hashem in the Nevi'im, right? That's like a classic phrase you find throughout the Navi. I'll give you a hint. Ko Yihyeh. No, anyone know the next word? When Hashem tells Avraham, right, look at the stars. Ko Yihyeh Zarecha, your children are going to be like the stars. Parshas Lech Lecha is the first time we have the word Ko. Interesting. Ko Yihyeh Zarecha. So to your children, right, your children will be numerous. Avraham Avinu, you don't think you're able to have children? Your children are going to see wonders, wondrous things. Right, say me it's Tagninus Shalcha, Hashem takes Avram beyond the constellations, beyond the astrology. You don't think you're able biologically to have children. You'll see, Ko Yihyeh Zarecha, your children will be numerous like the stars of the heavens. That's the first Ko of the Torah. Interesting that it's in the context of describing the descendants of Avram Avinu. Right? The impact of Avram Avinu, the family of Avram Avinu. Okay, where's the second Ko of the Torah? The second Ko of the Torah is one parsha later, by Akedas Yitzchak, and the pasuk says, "Va'ani v'hanar nelcha ad Ko." When Avram says to Eliezer and Yishmael, you stay here with the chamor, va'ani v'hanar nelcha ad Ko, we're going to go to Ko. Reference to Har Moriah, we're going to the place of Akedas Yitzchak. That's where we're headed. So the Magid explained, the Morei Nayim explained, I assume again that's who he's quoting, Nelcha ad ko, hainu ad bechinas chaf hei shel Chanukah. What does Akedas Yitzchak have to do with Chanukah? Alright, these are all, to quote my wonderful brother of Davidol, these are puzzle pieces, you know? Sometimes you know where to put it into the puzzle. And sometimes you put it in your back pocket and you say, okay, I just learned a couple of things. I learned that the first ko is by Avram being told about his progeny. I learned that the second ko of the Torah is on the way to Akedas Yitzchak, Avram and Yitzchak side by side. Maybe the Mesiras Nefesh of Akedas Yitzchak is the forerunner for the awesome Mesiras Nefesh of the Chashmonaim. Right? Maybe the root of all Mesiras Nefesh, maybe the root of all Emuna comes from Akedas Yitzchak. That unbelievable trust that Avram had in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe that's the connection to Chanukah. Right? The Chiddush Arim talks about how the Pach Shel Shemen had the seal of the Kohen Gadol. Avram Avinu is described in many ways as being a Kohen, and he's also called a Gadol. He's referred to as a Gadol in various psukim. So maybe the seal of the Kohen Gadol is the seal of Pach Shemen, says the Chiddush Arim, had the seal of Avram Avinu on it, whatever that means. Does that mean Avram actually sealed and hid away that jar of oil that the Chashmonaim would find? Again, we have to work through these. These are big sugyas. You have to learn Torah Shebichsav B'Iyun also. Not just crack your head on a difficult idea in Bava Kama. You have to figure out, what does this mean? Chafhe, the first ko in the Torah, the second ko in the Torah, Nelchad ko, has to do with Chanukah. Okay, let's keep going. Again, we started off by saying that creation of the world, right, is like, so to speak, sowing the roots for Chanukah. And now he says, well, Chanukah, really the beginning of the nation is Avraham. Are those two things two totally different things, creation of the world and Avraham? Are those two different things? Not at all. He says, V'zesh amru chazal al tikri b'hi baram ela ba'avraham. Have you remember this pasuk? It says, Eila toldos shamayim va'aretz b'hi baram. The Torah at the beginning of the Chumash recaps the creation of heaven and earth. Bihi baram. Say Chazal, don't read Bihi baram. Rather, rearrange the letters and read it Be'avraham. Hashem created the world for Avraham and his descendants. So you see that creation of the world is actually deeply connected to Avraham Avinu. Amazing. So creation is about Yehior. And Avraham Avinu, in his greatest, most defining moment on the way to the Akedah, says, Nelchad Ko. I'm planting the roots of Chanukah. Right? Be'avraham, Behi Baram, Peirush HaKasuv, Eile Toldos HaShamayim V'Haaretz, says the Basai in Rashi Tevos, Tohu. Toldos HaShamayim V'Haaretz. These are the chronicles. This is the story of creation of heaven and earth. This is the Tohu of the world, and who's going to fix it? Eile Toldos HaShamayim V'Haaretz, Behi Baram. Who's the one who's given the task of fixing it? It's Avraham. He says, V'nitkan al yedei behibaram, hainu ba'avraham. What's the gematria of Avraham? 248. What's the gematria of be'avraham? That's what the pasuk says, behibaram, which we're rearranging be'avraham. 250, which is gematria ner. Avraham's going to be, so to speak, the ner, the one who illuminates the world, the one who illuminates the das of people, the one who teaches people to know how reality actually works, that there's a borei olam. You know the Medrash that describes Avram's search for God. What's the famous mashal that the Medrash brings about Avram's search for God? It's like a person who's walking in the wilderness, and he comes to what? A bira dolekes. A bira dolekes, a palace. We had the word bira yesterday. Right? A bira means a palace, dolekes, with the lights on. An illuminated palace. Some say a palace that was on fire, but let's keep it simple. A palace with light inside, right? Someone lives there. He sees candles burning in the window. That's a sign that someone lives there. Someone's trying to light up their house. So Avram also, he sees a palace. He sees the lights are on. He says, there must be a balabais. And then the balabais appears in the window and says, yes, hi, I'm the guy who lives here. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu did the same thing with Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was trying to recognize the light of the world. Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or. Avram was trying to take the tohu, the chaos, the emptiness of the world, and give the world a mission statement. Monotheism, belief in the true God. And therefore, Be'avraham or Behibaram is gematria ner. The Pashup Shah in the Pasuk is Eile Toldos Shamayim V'aretz. These are the chronicles of Shamayim V'aretz. Behibaram, as Hashem created them. But what Chazal are revealing to us is Behibaram is Be'avraham, that the world was created, meaning the world came to Tikkun through Avraham. The world was created for Avraham, and the world was rectified, was perfected through the efforts of Avraham. Ram is l'mashamarnu shebechinas tohu nitkan al yedei Avraham b'ner Chanukah. that Avram, again, in some way, is deeply connected to the essence of Ner Chanukah. Shukiyei mitzvahs brismila, shukiyei ma'olam. Okay, he gives us another piece now. He says Avram, after all, is the one who has brismila at the age of 99. Not so pashut. And brismila solidifies the relationship between man and his creator, specifically Jew and his creator. And through Bris Mila, the world can exist. Again, if we're trying to prove that Avram is the one who upholds the world, Bihi Baram, Avram is the one who turns Tohu into Tikkun, Avram is the first one to get Bris Mila, and Bris Mila is part of upholding the world. As the Pasuk says in Yirmiyah, Im lo brisi yomam v'layla chukos shamayim v'aretz lo samti. If not for the Bris, if not for the covenant of day and night, heaven and earth could not stand. Now, usually we learn that pasuk to be talking about what? What bris? What's the bris of yomam v'layla? What's the bris of day and night? The covenant of day and night. Torah, v'hagisa bo, yomam v'layla. Usually we talk about the bris of day and night is the obligation for us to study Torah day and night. But it's also a reference, he says, to what? To bris mila, which upholds the world, which keeps the world going. And therefore Avram, who's the one who builds the world and fixes the world, is also the one to fix his body, his individual world. Every person is a miniature universe. Avram is the first one to be attacking his world by giving himself a bris mila. Okay? Good? Amazing connections. All right, let's keep going. V'zesha amar ha-kasuv. And this is what the pasuk means at the beginning of Parshas. Vayera. Vayera elav Hashem. Be'elone mamre, v'hu yoshev pesach ha'oel kechom hayom. Avram, we know, is recovering. It's the third day after his bris mila. And he's sitting there, wallowing in his pain, but trying to avoid his pain, ignore his pain, because all he cares about is having guests in his house. Perish, la'achar ha'mila hischil ha'tikun, shal pesach ha'oel, ha'merames l'b'chinas ner chanukah, sh'mitzvasa al pesach habayis. Interesting. Avram gets a bris mila and then he's sitting at the entrance to his tent. What mitzvah takes place at the entrance? Well, mezuzah, okay, and Ner Chanukah. So after his mila, he's Yoshev Pesach HaOel. He sits by the Pesach HaOel, again, planting the seeds of Chanukah. At the Pesach HaBayis, the mitzvah which is to be performed at the Pesach HaBayis. Of course, by the way, this is also why the Yavanim were gozer against what? What were the Yavanim against? Or, right? Torah, that was their general Ashkicham Torah Secha, but specifically which three mitzvahs? Shabbos, Mila, and Chodesh. Shabbos, Mila, and Chodesh. Shabbos, creation of the world. The Creator, 6 days, rested on the seventh. Mila, also the creation of the world. For most people, Mila takes place on the eighth day. Another Chanukah connection. Avram Avinu was mitaking the world. Avram was mitaking his body through the mitzvah of Mila. Right? Chodesh. Okay, we'll have to see how Chodesh fits in. Chodesh also is about the cycle of time, right? And tikkun of the world, because the Chodesh, again, establishes the patterns for each month and the various Jewish holidays, which holidays are inserted at various points to bring tikkun to various points throughout the calendar. Okay, but let's see. But you see that the Yavanim were clearly against Mila. Because Mila is tikkun, right? They didn't like the idea of being metakin the guf. The guf was meant to be enjoyed. It's machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban why we have bris mila. It's machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. Is it more ase tov or is it more sur meira? Is it more ase tov to forge a covenant with Hashem, to build a positive connection to God through the bris mila? Or is removing the arla, in a very practical way, what the Rambam says, a means of lessening the pleasure of the body? It'll reduce sexual pleasure, right? Both physically, and also just by showing restraint, by marking that part of the body. It's the part of the body which is so, which can be used to pursue pleasure in a very, you know, the Chazal say that, right? That intimacy is a pleasure that the whole body feels. So in order to restrain the body in general, we dafka try to remove the arla to negate some of the pleasure of the body. That's why Chanukah is gematria guf, the Svarim say. Chanukah is 89, guf is 89. And because Chanukah, so to speak, is the zeh l'uma zeh, sort of the opposite of what the body, right? The body represents a lack of awareness of neshama and just enjoying the pleasures of the body. The Yavanim wanted the best of both worlds. The Yavanim said, we're interested in like philosophy, we're interested in seichel, we're interested in wisdom, but we're also interested in the pleasures of the body. And as Torah Jews, we understand that if you're not going to curtail your physicality, if you're not going to elevate your physicality and curtail the pleasures of the body, then you're not going to be able to maximize your spirituality. The Yavanim wanted both. So Chanukah really comes to almost fight back against that, fight against the guf. I mean, that's why our picture, whether it's exactly historically accurate or not, but our notion of Greece, you know, the way that we think of Greece and the bodybuilding and the nude Olympics and all the focus on physicality, on the body, that it should just be pleasure for the sake of pleasure. That's why there's a lot of homosexuality in ancient Greece, because when a husband and wife are intimate, it's purposeful, it creates a child. They wanted just the pleasure of sex without any totsah, without any tachlis. That it shouldn't be creating anything. It shouldn't be building society, producing children. Right. Okay? Fine. So Avraham Avinu gets his bris mila, and then he's ready to light the Ner Chanukah, so to speak. He sits at the Yoshev Pesach HaOel, which hints to Ner Chanukah. Okay? For those who just joined us, we're five lines from the bottom of the right-hand column. V'gam shahaya beiso patuach lirvacha, Lahachnis Orchim. What was Avraham known for? Hachnasas Orchim. Hachnasas Orchim. What's the inyan of Hachnasas Orchim? Api Pnimiyas HaTorah. Api Chasidus. So first of all, there's a lot that's hinted to in just the very word for a guest, which is what? Right? Oreach. Oreach is Orches. Oreach is Orches. The Svarim talk about that. It's Mamash Chanukah. Eight lights of Chanukah, or Ches, and Oreach. But Avram was interested in Hachnasas Orchim. What was Avram's avoda? What was his Hachnasas Orchim about? He invited his best friends over for lunch on Shabbos? No. He was teaching people. He was trying to go out into the Rishus HaRabim. His tent was open on all sides, inviting the outside world to come into the Rishus HaYachid, meaning to go from the world of multiple gods to Rishus HaYachid, Teshma Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. V'hayim Megayir Geirim. Avram Avinu what? He taught people who were living lives without a mission statement how to live with a mission statement. He was Megayir Geirim. He created converts. Ki kol zos hu tikun ato. Isn't that what tikun ato is? To give a person who's living a more empty, chaotic life, to give that life more direction and purpose and truth? Ratzalomer ki ikar hatikun shel tohu hu lahalos hamidos hagashmiyim mibachinas haklipos mibachinas hatohu u lahalosam, top of the left column, lemakorum visharsham lekedusha. Okay, he's using a little bit of Kabbalistic language, but the goal is to take, so to speak, the midos hagashmiyim, to take the emotions, and to take the character of man, which exists without, you know, any godliness, right? I mean, all of the seven lower spheres, chesed, gvura, tiferes, all those concepts exist in every human being. The goal is to have a chesed of kedusha, to have a gvura of kedusha, and a tiferes of kedusha. So Avram was taking people, human beings, with personality, with emotion, and to try to take, so to speak, their midos from the realm of klipa, and to bring it into Avraham's tent. To bring it into a place of purpose, to reattach them, he says in the top line, l'shar shem kedusha, to their place of holiness. Haynu shekol asiyos of shel adam b'milei da'alma b'chutz yiyah l'shem shemayim. The reason we place our menorah at the Pesach Habayis is what we're trying to say is the whole outside world, all of chitzonius, we want to light it up, and then of course to bring that light back into our homes, and that's what Avram did. Hachnasas Orchem, to bring that light into people's lives. V'tamid yeh l'neged panav, that a person should always do things with an awareness that I'm in the presence of Hashem. V'tamid yechavin l'avodasu yisbarach, that everything I do can be sacred and holy. U'v'zeh yeh l'asiyos v'midos of l'sharshem v'b'chinas kedusha, and in that way to bring everything into the realm of kedusha. And that's what Avraham Avinu was a master of. Avraham Avinu was the master. When he invited people to his home, he didn't teach them Torah. He gave them food. And he taught them how to say thank you for food. How to engage Gashmias with awareness of Creator. That was Avram's main avoda. Right? The Achila and Shasia of Avraham Avinu, which we'll come back to a little bit. V'zeh b'chinas hachnasas orchim. And this is what the idea, again, al pipnimius of hachnasas orchim is. Shemachnis kol ha-b'chinos shahayu b'tohu l'b'chinas tikun. Hachnasas orchim means to bring all of the emptiness of the world into the tent of Avraham, so to speak. As a mashal for bringing it into what? Into the world of Hashem. B'chinas kedusha, kedi'isa, as is found in Sfarim. See the Ma'orei Naim in Parshas Lech Lecha. That's what it means to make converts. That's what Avram spent his life doing. So call it converting people, call it hachnasas orchim. It was the same idea. It was taking those who were outside in the world of tohu and bringing them into the world of tikkun. And that is what correcting the Torah is, bringing it into the realm of Kedusha. That's why the Neros Chanukah have such an awesome Kedusha. Be so careful with them. You have to be very careful. They're not for your mundane uses. They're very sacred. Right? Because it represents, again, that ability to Mekadesh everything. So therefore, unsanctified activities or unholy, mundane activities is a contradiction to the menorah. The whole point of the menorah is to elevate everything. And that's why it reaches into low places and is placed on the left side of the door and it's outside and etc. etc. Uvechol ze esek Avram bevinu olav shalom. V'haya beso patuach lervacha. Ratzalom er laheir lechol abachino shoto kedei lalosam. And this was the esek. This was Avram's life's work. Again, to bring things into the realm of Kedusha. Okay, next paragraph. V'lachein amru chazal mitzvas ner chanukah menicho al pesach beso mibachutz uveshas hasakana menicho al shulchano v'dio. What does the Gemara say? The optimal place to put the menorah is where? At the Pesach Abayis, just like Avram was Yoshev Pesach HaOel, on the outside. However, in times of danger, where do you put your menorah? Chazal say, just leave it on your shulchan. If you're worried that the Crusaders, the Cossacks, whoever, Yamach Shemam V'Zichrom, are going to throw rocks through your window and they see your menorah in your window or by your doorway, so just leave it on your dining room table. Put it on your shulchan, leave it on your table, v'dayo, and that's enough, right? Dayenu, shkayach, yoyotze, that's good. What's the idea of putting it on your table? Like I mentioned, Avram's whole avodah was to seat people around the table and to give them food to eat. Perish ikir ha mitzvah lanicho a pesach mi bachutz, kedei laheir lachol b'chinas chitzonim. Obviously, the optimal place to put the menorah again is by the pesach abayis on the outside, in order to illuminate the external forces. Ratzalomar mi shiacholis biyado lasok binyanim gashmim b'shuk, b'kavana tova kedei la'alosim l'kedusha k'nizkir le'el. A person who says, I am spiritually strong enough to what? To go out to the street, to go to a college campus, to go to the mall, to go to wherever, to go to the marketplace, to go to the shuk, and to talk to Jews who are very far from Yiddishkeit, and I'm strong enough to what? To bring them back, without, God forbid, compromising my own spirituality, then that's gavaldik. A person who's able to do such a thing, and to lift up people who are in low places, gavaldik. Zeu bevadai tov, that's very good. And that's the main thing that Chanukah has the ability to do. But sometimes there's a sakana. B'shas ha-sakana, put it on your table. What does b'shas ha-sakana mean? Not just that, again, that the Nazis are going to kick over your menorah and try to burn down your house. B'shas ha-sakana also means that going out to the street, going into low places, it presents a danger to the individual who's going to such a place. I'm going there to be makari of other people, but I may get dragged down. I'm going to visit my friend on his college campus to make sure he stays from, or to make sure that his Shabbos is actually Shabbistic, but maybe I'll end up going there and ending up, at a party that I, never thought I would end up at. So maybe it's better for me not to go bachutz. You have to be very careful going bachutz. So therefore, avabashas ha-sakana, If you're nervous, rightfully so. And that's why many people light the menorah indoors today, even if it's by the window, but it's still inside the house, as opposed to outside the house. We have to be very nervous about the outside world today. B'sha'as ha'sakana, when a person's worried to engage chitzonius, l'dvarim gashmiyim, k'dei lahalosam, when you don't feel that I'm strong enough on my own right to be able to go out and be makari of others, again, whether others are people, or whether others are ideals, or whether whatever it is, to uplift physicality, maybe I'm not ready to uplift the world in that way. Maybe I'm not an Avraham Avinu. Maybe I can't keep my tent open on all sides. Rav Kook has a beautiful Torah where he talks about Avram's tent open on all sides, being open to opinions coming from all different directions. But you have to be a big person to be solvable such a thing. To be able to hear all the opinions of the street and to stay grounded in your position is, you know, nishpasha. You have to be a big person to do that. Maybe you're not going to be able to overcome the negative influences. You'll be swallowed up by them. So then just leave the menorah on your dining room table and that will be sufficient. What does that mean? If you can't go out to the whole world and live all the gashmias of the world, you know where a good place to start is? Your own dining room table. Your own dining room table. What does your own eating and drink look like? Right? What does your own Shabbos table look like? When you sit down to eat, Hainu b'inyane achila ushasiya, three lines from the bottom. Shethia b'chinas v'dio, Hainu b'chinas estapkus. Put the menorah on your dining room table, v'dayenu. What does that mean, v'dayenu, v'dio? It means, make sure that your own dining room table has dayenu, restraint. One more piece of cake, you know? Only had three slices so far. It's not like I'm on a diet or anything. Right? But there's spiritual repercussions also of eating that fourth slice of cake. Even if you say L'chav Shabbos Kodesh, or try to pretend to say L'chav Shabbos Kodesh. I told you that story with the Chidush Harim. Mm-hmm. The guy at the Chidush Harim's Shabbos table, and he's every bite, L'chav Shabbos Kodesh, L'chav Shabbos Kodesh. So the Chidush Harim says, he pats himself on the stomach, and he says, L'chav Mein Boich. He says, come on, let's be honest. L'chav Shabbos Kodesh. You know what you're saying. You're eating it because your stomach enjoys it. Right? So halavai, first and foremost, halavai, put the menorah, let it illuminate your own table. Right? Let your own table, again, achil and shtia just is a remez for all physicality. Right? When Yosef is not given permission, so to speak, to watch over Ashes Potiphar, and Potiphar doesn't really trust his wife, right? Remember the pasuk, remember the Rashi? That he entrusted Yosef with his entire household, except for what? Except for the bread that he eats. So Rashi has two pshat. The one is they didn't let Jews touch their bread. And the other pshat, the bread that he eats, is a reference to his wife, his rebbetzin. Right? Because again, achila, the eating of the Eitz Hadas, there's a lot of sexual tension. Just go back to the Rashi's at the beginning of Bereishis. The sexual tension between the Nachash and Chava. Right? So eating, again, is just a code word sometimes for physicality. Right? Whether it's intimacy or whether it's any other type of physical pleasure. It all goes back to the chet Eitz Hadas, which was a chet of achila, but there were many undertones of other physical desires that were wrapped up in it. So therefore, we say, put your menorah on your own table. It's interesting. When the Sivas Shalom writes in one place, I don't remember where it is. It may be from earlier Slonim or Tzadikim. He says, on Shabbos, we know that we have Lecha Mishnah. Yeah? We have Lecha Mishnah. We call, in halachic literature, we call making hamotzi, bitziyas hapas, breaking bread. It says in the Gemara, they used to sit down to break bread together. Right? Break bread means to share a meal together. Some people actually have the practice, interesting, which chal do you cut at the Suda Shabbos? Right. So, Alpi Pnimius, the bottom challah is used Friday night. The top challah is the primary challah Shabbos day. Right. But there are some people who cut through both challahs at all meals. If you have two challahs Friday night, two challahs at the second Suda, and two challahs at Shalash Shudas, and you cut through all of them, so you have six challahs and you cut them each in half, so you sort of have 12, which corresponds to the 12 loaves of the Shulchan. There's all sorts of kavanas about 12 loaves. Some said you can have 12 loaves on their Shabbos tale, whatever it is.
Yeah, but some people break, they cut their botseya, both loaves. Right? And either way, we need lecha mishta. So in theory, even if it's not your practice to cut through both challahs, in theory, we're representing that on Shabbos, we break two breads. As opposed to normally, if I eat bread, I don't even have a whole loaf, but on Shabbos, I have a whole loaf, and I break the two breads. So Nesiv HaShalom says, what does it mean to break the two breads? On Shabbos, we break two bread. So he says, the two breads are that Rashi by Yosef and Eishes Potiphar. Right? Potiphar doesn't trust Yosef with his actual bread. And the lechem that he eats is also a reference, Rashi says, to his wife. So on Shabbos, we try to break, so to speak, two breads. This means what? Son of Merebi says, we're trying to elevate both our eating, trying to break the taiva. That Shabbos, the eating should be a little holier. Right? The Gemara says that tzaddikim and talmid chachamim are intimate with their wives on Shabbos. Leil Shabbos to Leil Shabbos. Friday night is a time for a talmid chacham to be with his wife. So also, we break that bread also, meaning it should be done for holiness. I shouldn't eat because I enjoy food. I shouldn't be with my spouse because I enjoy physical intimacy. It's the very holy thing. Eating is a holy thing. Husband and wife being together is a very holy thing. Right? So we're trying to elevate at least the inyan gashmius within my domain. If I can't light up the whole world, if I can't put my menorah outside, at the very least on my dining room table, so to speak. My echila and chasiyah should be with a sense of istapkus. Okay, last line on the page. She de sipuko bilvad kedei la'avod habore baruchu b'koach ha'achila ho. That I should eat in order to have the strength to serve my Creator. That's also elevating gashmius. Every time you drink an iced coffee. No, Albert, you have to think. I'm drinking this iced coffee to be connected to the Creator of the world. That's already a lot. It's a big avoda. Besides going to the street and saving the whole world with your menorah. Start with your own bias. And not to heat the body. When a person eats, your body becomes warm. There were a lot of folk on my plane back from Eretz Yisrael. Folk from Virginia and all over the place. People who still own farms. Really geschmack people. Really sweet, sweet human beings. If you're allowed to say such a thing, which I think you are. You know, the Gemara says you have to be careful what you say. But very, very nice people. Non-Jewish people. Very, very lovely non-Jewish people. Right? So right after they served the meal, this husband and wife were sitting row in front of me. All of a sudden, the wife says to husband, "So I feel very warm. Must be from the food we just ate." So when a person eats, it warms the body. Obviously, when a person engages in intimacy, it heats the body. Right? The avoda is not to overheat the body. Why is he telling us this? Go back to the pasuk about Avram Avinu. When is Avram sitting at the Pesach HaOel? Kechom Hayom, in the heat of the day. What does it mean? A person has to be careful, he says, V'chein yargilas asmo b'chol amidos, b'tchil lakar chom hativi, to cool yourself off. Again, when a person engages the physical body, the body itself becomes heated. Right? We're the people of the moon. We're not the people of the sun. Try to move away from overheating the body. So we have to cool off the natural heat of the body. A person gets heated when they're angry also. When a person feels proud of oneself, the body temperature rises. So all these negative midos cause a heating of the body. If we could at least cool off our own houses, our own bias, our own bodies, then maybe one day we'll be zochah to put the Ner Chanukah on the outside. And therefore now we understand, when is the time to light the menorah? Mishatishka hachama, from the time the sun sets, so to speak, the cooling of the sun, right? The controlling and the elevating of gashmias. Hainu haschalas mitzvasa lashkia hachama. When does the mitzvah begin? Meaning, what is the beginning, not just the time for Hanukkah, but how do you begin connecting yourself to Hanukkah? By showing that what? Hanukkah, which is gematria guf, Hanukkah is in charge, not my guf. Not going to overheat my body. I'm going to cause the sun to set a little bit. I'm going to try to cool off my taivas a little bit. Hainu or Hashem yair v'yishka b'libo. Kanizkra le'el.
Right? My footnote here says, you have the same footnote as me, I guess. Ulai chaser kan bir hamila hachama lashkias chom hataiva. Right? But again, the point is that I use the light of Hashem, which is a pure and holy light, to cool off, so to speak, the heat of the Yetzirah, the heat of the sun. Achatichlo regel min hashuk. And when is the time for lighting Hanukkah? From sunset until what? Until the feet leave the marketplace. Ratzalomar. Achayizke shiakola regel. Hainu bechinas regel, bechinas gashmim. Yichalu min hashuk. To get your feet out of the marketplace. The regel, of course, your feet are the part that are most connected to what? To Gashmius. Your feet are the ones that touch the earth. My hands don't touch the ground so much, even though they're connected by way of the body to the ground. My head doesn't touch the ground all that much. I don't place my ear to the ground very much. My feet are always touching the ground. They're always connected to Gashmius. The goal is ad shetichla regel min hashuk, to be able to lift my feet a little bit off the ground. You know, like they say about certain tzaddikim, that they were a tefach higher than the world, you know? So to speak, they weren't resting on the ground. The letter Yud, I told you, of all the letters, the Aleph Bay, is the only letter that doesn't touch the ground is the letter Yud. A Yid, a Yehudi. And of course, the Avanim tried to what? I told you last week, whenever that was, Yud Vav Nun, right? You take a Yud and to drag it down to the ground, and then to drag it beneath the ground. Mamash, to be sunken. To be sunken in Gashmias. Yeah, our goal is what? Tishka Achama, to sink the sun. And they want to sink us in the sun. They want us to be immersed in physicality, in Gashmias, in the heating of the body. Sha'afilu b'shas hilichaso b'shuk lo yelo taiva zaro shenikron regel neged avodas Hashem shenikru rosh. When I'm walking in the marketplace, can I keep my head in the right place? Can I be a head and not a tail? Can I be a rosh and not a zanav? Avodas Hashem is called rosh. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, the Jewish people are told, right? Rishon Hu Lachem L'chod She'eshana, Rosh. The Jewish people are the Rosh of the world. The Regel, so to speak, the feet represents Gashmias, earthliness. The feet on the ground, the feet that drag through the marketplace, that make contact with the entire marketplace. Umay Regel, says the Gemara, what Regel? Whose Regel? What foot? Until what foot leaves the marketplace? The Gemara says, Regel de Tarmudoi. Rashi says it was a people. Maybe people who sold small bundles of wood in the marketplace, small twigs in the marketplace. But explains the Basayan al Pipnimius, Hainu Tarmudai Lashon Shena Vitardema. When Adam Arishon is about to become Adam and Chava, and Hashem removes the rib bone to make Chava, it says that what Hashem put Adam Arishon to sleep. He put him into a deep Tardema. Avram Avinu by the Bris Bein HaBesarim. Yeah, Tardema. Tardema means a deep sleep, a darkness. Right? So there's a certain sleepiness, a certain heaviness. Why do you think when you eat too much? Someone was saying to me recently, they said, I stopped eating so much on Shabbos and it changed my Shabbos completely. You don't have to just eat just because there's like a lot of food on the Shabbos table usually, Baruch Hashem, for many of us. It doesn't mean you have to have another slice of cake or another bowl of chulin or another piece of kugel. Just because it's there, you don't have to have another piece of chicken. Because by the end of the Shabbos meal, you're like passed out. Right? The Gashmias, it makes a person tired. It makes a person heavy. It makes a person sleepy. So the goal is to remove the regel de tarmudai, to remove that sleepiness. Every month has an action that corresponds to it. What's the action? According to Sefer Yetzirah, what is the act of the month of Kislev? Sleep. Shena. You know why? Because the avodah of Kislev, in this dark time when it's easy to stay in bed because it's just so dark out, is to turn on the lights of the menorah, to turn on the lights and to wake yourself up. It's time for spiritual awakening. So we're fighting against the sleepiness, the heaviness, the earthliness of Olam Hazeh and Chanukah. The goal is to remove the regel of the time or die. That's how you finish the mitzvah. You start the mitzvah of Chanukah, Mishatishka Achama, by beginning to lessen your gashmias. When you can remove that regel the time we die, when you can be fully spiritually alert and understand the consequences of your physical decisions, of your engagement with physicality, and you elevate it to Kedusha, that's finishing the mitzvah of Chanukah. That's the end, so to speak, of the Zman of Chanukah. Ki maisa b'likavana la'Hashem nikra tarmuda. Because when a person does actions without thinking, that's called tarmuda, that's tardema, that's b'chinas shena. Rav Shimon Schwab says, an amazing vart in the Mayan Beis HaShoeva. Rav Schwab said that if you look by that moment when Chava is created, Hashem puts Adam to sleep, but it never says that Hashem woke Adam up. Now obviously you read on in the Torah and it's clear that Adam is awake, but the Torah emphasized clearly that Hashem put him to sleep, but it does not say that Hashem woke him up. Because a little bit, says Rav Schwab, Adam never woke up. And our whole avoda is to wake up Adam the rest of the way. It's clear that he went to bed, deep sleep. It's not so clear that he woke up afterwards. Our whole avoda in life is to constantly try to wake ourselves spiritually. Okay, to overcome the tardema, the shena, which again is so much connected to Chodesh Kislev. Okay, Chava, let's just finish up the piece. We have two paragraphs left. Okay, we'll have to save the second piece for another day. I don't know. I'm always so ambitious. I don't know what I was thinking. I photocopied 5 pages for you. Okay? The 2 pages. 2 pages is also good. Amnam Iker HaBechina. It's my present to you on the yard site of the Bas Ayin. You can keep the pages. Amnam Iker HaBechina LaHasig Al Yada LeMitzvos Ner Chanukah MiBachot Hudavka Al Yidei Shiflus VaAnava BeEmes. How does a person achieve the ultimate goal of Chanukah, which is to be able to elevate all of Chitzonius? It takes what? It takes humility. It takes shiflus be'emes. This is a big theme in the Bas Ayin. Those of us who are learning the Yosher Divrei Emes on Tuesday nights know that it's a big theme in Yosher Divrei Emes. Those of us who are learning Yismach Yisrael on Thursdays know that humility is a big theme in the Yismach Yisrael. It's also a very big theme in the Bas Ayin. He talks about humility a lot. When a person's humble and a person knows his place, it's much easier to make the right choices. When a person's a Baal Gaiva and a Baal Taiva, and they're all connected to each other, right, it becomes much harder for a person to turn down physical things in this world. So if we're saying that Avram Avinu is the one who was metaking the world, that Avram Avinu was Yoshev Pesach Awel, that Avram Avinu could invite the whole world into his tent and not be worried about the world having a negative effect on him, but him being able to elevate and to illuminate the world, it must be that Avram was a very humble person. Nu chevra, was he? Yes, he was. Ka Avram Avinu, about which says, Va'anochi afar ve'efer. Avram says, I'm but dust and ashes. Va'yedeza zacha lebechina nizkar le'ya. When you have such an attitude of humility, then a person can go far in this world. Ve'gam David HaMelech Allah v'shalom amar va'anochi. So la'as v'lo ish. David HaMelech said about himself, I'm like a worm. A worm? A worm, you live in the dirt. And David HaMelech says, that's right. I'm very much engaged in the world. That's the famous Gemara at the beginning of Brachos. David HaMelech says, I'm engaged in all sorts of real stuff in the world. Right? But I'm able to do it l'shem shemayim. I'm able to do it the right way. David knows how to elevate everything l'shem shemayim. When David's dancing wildly in front of the Aron and his wife says, what are you doing? I know of Melech X. David says, you're wrong. You're wrong. This is not about all the body movement, which is heating my body. It's all the Shem Shemayim. That's why I think I mentioned to you once in the past that David Melech is called the Maskil. The word Maskil appears a number of times in Tehillim. But David is referred to as a Maskil. In the Navi, he's called a Maskil. Maskil means a person of Seichel, a person of deep understanding of things. But I told you once that maskil is Rashi Tevos, like it says in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Kol Maasecha Yihyu L'Shem Shemayim. So David's a maskil. Everything David did, Kol Maasecha Yihyu L'Shem Shemayim. Everything he did was L'Shem Shemayim. So when his Rebbetzin says, what are you doing? You're acting like wild, moving your body in front of the Aron like that. What kind of way is that for a tzaddik, a melech, a talmid chacham to act? To move your body in such a way? And he says, yes, because I know how to move my body in a way of Kedusha. I can be engaged in physicality, and it's holy. Mamish kulo Kedusha. So David says, I'm a tolas. It's an interesting image. I'm a worm. A worm literally lives in the dirt. Right? But by David HaMelech, being in the dirt didn't mean that he was chas v'sham in the dirt. It was his way of elevating the dirt. It's interesting. We dafka used a little shamir to build the Beis HaMikdash, that little worm that knew how to eat through the stone to literally carve out the stones of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so a worm can actually create a lot of holiness despite the fact that it lives in the dirt. So David HaMelech is very humble in that way, like Avraham Avinu. Last paragraph for today. V'afshar lomar k'tzas remez shelezeh tiknu ha-ga'onim lomar ha-neros halalu kodesh heim ve'ein lanu reshus l'shamesh b'hem. As we alluded to earlier,
That's why we say about these candles, they're such holy candles. They're not meant to be used for regular purposes. Peirush kedusha gedola yesh bevadai behaneros. These candles have unbelievable sanctity. Umish zacha lebechinas tola'as velo ish. And a person who what? Who's like David HaMelech, who could say, I'm not even a person, I'm a worm. That's how humbled I am before my Creator. Bechinas shiflus be'emes. True meekness and lowliness and simplicity. Hu yachal lahasig al yedei nero shochanaka hasaga nifla v'tikun hatohu. It's hard for a person who likes big things. You don't understand. You can't appreciate that little light. But a person who's humble, a person who has depth to him, is able to look at that little nair, and you see so much. It's the Ur HaGanuz. It encompasses the whole world. The original light that Adam could see, Misofa Olam Vad Sofo. Adam Arisho could see from one end of the world to the other end of the world. David HaMelech. Where did David HaMelech get the 70 years of his life from? He got it from Adam Arishon. David HaMelech says, David HaMelech is called a Katan. He's the youngest of his seven brothers. He's called a Katan. But he's a Katan who's Mamish Agadol. It's like an Erech Hanukkah, it's a tiny little light, but it's such a all-encompassing light. Aval anachnu she'ein lanu b'chinas shiflus, b'chinas tolas. But those of us who unfortunately lack that midah of tolas, of being worm-like, of being simple, of being humble, the worm that literally crawls around on its stomach, those of us who walk erect and feel like we're big shots, v'zeu v'ein lanu rishus. Interesting remez he brings here. He says, rishus is gematria tolas. So therefore, since we're not tolas, we don't have rishus to use the candles. I'm not sure exactly what he's saying. Shemaram is lebechinas anava. And therefore, lishtamesh behem hainu shal yidei bechinas rishus, bechinas anava, hainu yecholim lishtamesh behem ulahasig al yadam. Again, if you are humble, then you're granted rishus to gain from the candles. But a person who's not humble doesn't, it's not that he doesn't have permission to use the candles, it's just he doesn't get the Ner Chanukah. He doesn't get what it's trying to do. He doesn't see how a little candle at the entrance to one's doorway is supposed to light up the whole world. But again, it's that tiny little spark that has the ability, that has the potential to light up the whole world. El lirosim bilvad perish akolpanim mitzvahi lanu lirosim bilvad. If we're not able to use the candles, and we don't know how to light up the world with the candles, at the very least, what? We should see the candle and be inspired by the candle. Afalpisha ein lanu shum bechina lishtamish pa. Even though we're not yet worthy to truly benefit from the candles, until we're able to come to that level of perfected service of Hashem, at the very least, we look at the candles and we think about all these messages. We think about how the candle takes us from the world of Tohu to the world of Tikkun. We think about Avram Avinu Nelcha Ad Ko, that he went at a Kedas Yitzchak. How Eila toldos Hashemayim va'aretz v'shitevos tohu b'hi baram osios ba'avraham gematria ner. How Avram was sitting Yoshev Pesach ha'oel kechom hayom after getting bris mila, after limiting the pleasures of the body and entering into a partnership with the Kadosh Baruch Hu to fix the world. How Avram had all of his orchim, oreyach his orches, hachnas his orchim, geirim, bringing the chitzonius into the beis medrash, so to speak, of Avram Avinu. Lot to think about. But in Mirtz Hashem, we should at least begin the process. Mitzvasa begins with what? Mishetishka Achama. To try a little bit to lessen our connection to Gashmias, to be a little bit more like light itself, which has no Gashmias, right? The room is filled with light right now, but you can't hold it in your hand. So to try to attach ourselves to the Or Ein Sof that is Hashem, and to bask in the light of the menorah and the tzaddikim, and in Mirtz Hashem, to be zocha to the Or of the Geula b'mehera b'yameinu amen. Okay, we thank our Rebbe, the Bas Ayin, on his yard site for teaching this beautiful Torah. Shkoyach.